Our reading tonight comes from Matthew's Gospel, and it's chapter 12 and verse 1. So that's page 1160 in our Bibles, chapter 12 and verse 1. Yeah. At that time, Jesus went on to the Sabbath through the cornfields, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the ears and to eat. But the Pharisees, seeing it, said to him, "Behold, the disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on Sabbath." But he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priest only? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that there is here what is greater than the temple." Now let's move on to verse 38. "Then answered some of the scribes and Pharisees, saying, 'Teacher, we desire to see a sign from thee.' But he answering said to them, 'A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign shall not be given to it, save the sign of Jonas the prophet. For even as Jonas was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights, thus shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Ninevites shall stand up in the judgment of this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, more than Jonas is here. A queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, more than Solomon is here." During his time on earth, the Lord Jesus brought tremendous blessing right into people's lives. But in spite of that, there were those who went out of their way to discredit him, to bring him down. There are always those, aren't there? Always people like that. I'm glad to say that the response of the Lord Jesus just shows us more of the glory of his person. Now, a classic example of that is in our reading tonight. In verse 1, the disciples were challenged about eating ears of corn from the cornfield, that it was breaking the law of Moses. Now, those disciples weren't breaking the law by eating that corn, because under that law, Jewish farmers were asked to leave a patch of corn behind so that any passerby could eat some of it. Now, the accusation was what it was happening on the Sabbath day, where under the law of God, his chosen people were not to do any work of any kind. So on the Sabbath day. So, to catch the Lord Jesus out, they insisted that just picking ears of corn was work. Because those accusers based everything not only on the law of Moses, but with a few added procedures of their own. But then the Lord Jesus reminded them that human need was more important than rituals. And in fact, those that conducted the service in the temple at the time worked harder than anyone else serving the Lord. So they were doing it on the Sabbath day. So what about them? But then he said to them, "But I say unto you that there is here what is greater than the temple." Now he was speaking about himself. But that should have shook them rigid, because the temple's where people met with the living God. The temple's where people worshipped the living God. The temple's where people received divine guidance from the living God. What person could be greater than that? Oh, I don't know. It's a beautiful description of the Lord Jesus and what he can do for us, isn't it? The answer was standing right there in their midst. He's the one who literally came to be God manifest in the flesh. That's when he came to live amongst us. He is greater than the temple in all the ways that were mentioned. about him, and so much more. And there's a vital reminder there tonight, as if we need it, that becoming a Christian believer is not based on your own efforts to be perfect, or going to, even going along to a church building, or following any rituals. It's by trusting in the Lord Jesus in repentance, and accepting him and his way of salvation, and asking him into our lives. There's another misunderstanding that some people have, and we're reminded about it in verse 38 of our reading tonight. Talk of it. See, those accusers of the Lord Jesus asked for a sign before they'd accept him. Do you know what's the sign, they said? And we'll believe in you. But the Lord Jesus reminded them in strong terms, God's way doesn't work like that. And he went on to tell them about the prophet Jonah, who ended up on a ship bound for Nineveh. But he was rejected by his fellow travellers. I'm sure you'll know the story of Jonah. But with the help of a great fish, he literally rose from the dead. And after 3 days, he went on to proclaim repentance to the people of Nineveh. So the Lord Jesus used that as a prophecy of the 3 days of his own death and resurrection from the death. And for the sins that we pay against the holy God. And he is asking us to be repentant to him. And talking about signs rather, in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus said, "You believe in God, believe also in me. And do you believe in God in the first place tonight?" We've been talking about the Lord Jesus. Do you believe in God in the first place tonight? Are you looking for a sign that he exists? Are you looking for a miraculous sign tonight? No, actually, forgive me if I've said this a few times before, but there's a sign right inside your head, the human brain. I often talk about that. I know I say it practically every time, but let me remind you again. Your brain is a miraculous biological computer. It can recall pictures of the past, of people, events that disappeared years ago. How does it do that? It can even create people and events that don't even exist by way of the imagination. How's that for a miracle? The reason I often mention the human brain as a miracle of creation is that it was my job at one time to design online advertisements for holidays abroad for people. And they only lasted 30 second commercials. Now, they took a lot of time, a lot of trouble, a lot of money, a lot of travel, a lot of materials, and a lot of people to produce. By contrast, the human brain can produce practically the same result instantly by way of its imagination, without any of the time and trouble that exists for poor old me to get involved in those advertisements. Of course, some people tell us that your miraculous human brain is the result of evolution. That somehow everything created itself and continued to evolve by a series of sort of coincidences. No, it's obvious. Everything that exists is far too complicated for that, isn't it? Your human brain, like the rest of you, is the work of your maker and creator, the living God. King David put it beautifully in Psalm 139. He said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." He got that right there, didn't he? You know, some people today are not only looking for signs from God, they're looking in other directions too. Superstition, for instance. I've become to play a big part in people's lives. But superstition has no place with the one who really is in control, the living God. While we're on the subject of superstition, I was talking to a guy recently. He said, I don't believe in God. I believe in my lucky rabbit's foot. He said, that does the job for me. So I said, well, if you've got just the rabbit's foot, what happened to the rest of the rabbit? Doesn't sound very lucky to me. And he just walked off in a huff. Yeah. Yes, occult signs, reading horoscopes, or whatever, won't change the fact that your life is in the hands of the living God. Are you fully aware of that tonight? Are you fully aware that your life is in the hands of the living God? Moving on to verse 42 of our reading, the Lord Jesus said to his accusers, behold, more than Solomon is here, or greater than Solomon is here. Now that would come as another shock, because Solomon was the greatest king in Israel's history, while on the other hand, everything about the Lord Jesus was humble in his earthly life. He was born in a cattle manger. He didn't grow up to be a wealthy farmer. He didn't live in a mansion or hold a high political office or become the leader of a great army. He had no money of his own. In fact, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, he even declared that he had nowhere to lay his head. But history has proved that he really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in spite of the humble journey on earth amongst us. Now, during that journey, it has to be said, though, that the Lord Jesus did draw countless of numbers of people to him. And that was at a time when communication was just by word of mouth. When Jesus preached in the open air, people would flock to hear him. Of course, there's that famous occasion recorded in Matthew chapter 14 when 5,000 people gathered to him and he miraculously fed the whole crowd from a mere 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Imagine something like that happening in Gloucester Park today. You may have even got the crowd, but you wouldn't get that miracle of feeding with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Food for thought there, isn't there? But forgive the pun. Yes, what he did was beyond all human ability. Not only the feeding of the 5,000, but on so many other occasions as well. There was that time, for instance, when he actually rose Lazarus from the dead. Rose someone from the dead. It doesn't get more miraculous than that, does it? Yes, the Lord Jesus achieved all that because he's very God of very God. And yet, he was willing to take that divine pathway to the cross of Calvary. He changed the future of mankind, actually. His death on that cross was, in fact, a glorious victory over all that stands in the way between us and God. The Lord Jesus is truly justified in saying, more than Solomon is there here. He was really justified in saying, for yet another reason. See, King Solomon was crowned king when things were at a really low state in the country. People were feeling defeated by life, disappointed, no peace of mind, and without any dignity. King Solomon turned all of that round and transformed their lives for them. If you'll forgive the question, forgive me for asking you this question, each one of you tonight, how's your life going? Are you feeling defeated? No peace of mind? No real hope for the future? Oh, if you are, I've got good news for you tonight to remind you. The one who is greater than the temple, greater than Jonah, greater than Solomon, is definitely with us here tonight. And not only with us, but looking to turn your life around for you. That's if you've never done this before. He's able to do that not just for a time, like King Solomon, but within you, forever. That's what makes him the perfect answer tonight. The Lord Jesus, the perfect answer for you and any of your problems. With any problems that you may be facing tonight, any challenges. Of course, I wouldn't be foolish enough to say that money isn't important to our lives. It certainly helps to do a lot of things. But even money can't give you the answer of your eternal future. It can't solve that problem. And that inner peace that can only be found in Jesus Christ. He said, my peace I give you, not as the world gives you, but my peace. And we find that when we put our trust in him. The glorious, risen and ascended Lord Jesus is offering you a new start in life. A new transformed life, now and forever. Think of that. And he's asking you tonight not to bargain with God with your own efforts to be perfect, or ask him for a sign in exchange for your faith in him. He's asking you simply to repent of your sin against the holy God and receive the Lord Jesus into your life. Nobody says, as we often hear, that it's easy to repent. But when you do, you receive the greatest reward you could ever receive in this world and the next. You literally become a new creation in Jesus Christ. Think of that. A new creation in Christ Jesus. It just doesn't get better than that, does it? But having said that, it's my duty to inform you tonight that if you're still unwilling to let go of what you are now, you may never get the opportunity. As the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. An often quoted phrase that, but so true. Get right with God tonight through the one who's greater than Solomon, greater than any religious building, greater than any rituals, greater than any wonderful signs, and greater than any man-made superstitions. Thank you for listening.